Okay, we're on Daf Mem Hei tonight. So Nazir 45a Mem Hei. I'll begin around 10 lines from the top. Everybody ready? So Ma'itin Tiglachat Tara Ketzad. Now we know that at the conclusion of the term of Nazirus, the Nazir he gets a shave, and he also brings Korbanot. So he calls everything here Tiglachat. Tiglachat is like a general term for the concluding rituals. So manitin tiglachat tara ketzad hayamei bi shalosh behemot. He would bring three animals to the Beis HaMikdash, katat olo shlamim, and it helps to have a chumash in front of you, by the way. So the three animals and the mentioned chumash. So it's a keves as an ola. Kavsa means a kibsa for a chatat, and an ayal, a ram for shlamim. Those are three animals. So back in the Mishnah, v'shocheded hashlamim. Now the Tanakh Mishnah says they'll shech the shlamim first. Now in the Chumash, it sounds like the shlamim is last, the one that's mentioned last. But he says that he shechs the shlamim. Yeah. So this is in Perek Vav Pasuk Yudalit in Bamidbar. You want me to read it? Yeah. Yeah, last. So he says, but here the Mishnah says, with Shochid Hashlamim, page 760 in the Art Scroll, with Shochid Hashlamim, Megaleich Aleihem the Rabbi Yehuda. So according to Rabbi Yehuda, he shechs the Korban Shlamim, and again, the Shechita typically would be the Kohen, but if the person himself wants to do Shechita, you know, Shechita, he could do it. And then he's megaleich aleihem de Rabbi Yehuda. He has the giluach following the bringing the shechting the korban shlamim. Reb Lazar omer lo yeh megaleich ala chatat. Reb Lazar says no. The giluach was done after the korban chatat was brought. Shachatat kudem l'kol makom. So the Tanna Reb Lazar says the chatat is always the first korban that's brought. So if you have a series of korbanot here in the chumash, the pasuk mentions ola. Then it mentions chatat, then it mentions shlamim. So Reb Lazar says the chatat, which is the number two slot, is really number one. He says, now, on that, if you look at the Rashi slash Mefarish, 10 lines above where it gets wide, shechatat mechomakom, kidechti v'kribet asher l'chatat rishona. They'll bring the chatat first. It mentions in Bayikra, but kainalon, the pilu chatat of kodemet, aflo lat behema. So the Gemara holds that even if the chatat is a bird, that has priority over an ola of a behema. So Reb Lazar says the chatat will be the first one he'll bring. He says shechatat be'im gilach. So in other words, he'll bring the chatat first, and they'll do the giluach after the chatat is shechted. We're in the middle of the Mishnah Mem Hei Amud Aleph. Bim gilach al echad mishlashtan, the way the Bach has it. If he did giluach after any of the three, yotza, he's yotze. Rav Moshe Gamliel Omer, hevishlosh behemot v'lo piresh. If the Nazir brought three animals to the base of Mikdash and he didn't specify which animals for which, haruy l'chatat t'karei chatat. So again, they're not the same animals. One's the young female sheep, one's the young male sheep, and one's the ram, which is the older male sheep. So he says, and if you look at the Rush is in the lower left-hand corner, around 10 lines above where it gets right, he says, below Piresh, even though they all korbano, the Baalim have to designate what the animals are being brought for, he doesn't need to. He says, these animals are from a Zirut, the female young sheep is only Rui for the Chatat. He says, so that's the way that piece works out. Okay. Any questions, comments, or thoughts on anything we did so far? Everybody good? Right. In other words, he shechs the first korban. So it's a question which the first korban is. According to Blazer, it's a Chatat. And according to Rabbi Yehuda, it's a shlamim. He gets the right. He gets it.
That's
what
the other should be
after that. Right. All right. And again, it could be the Kohen might be doing those shechitot. So, but anyway, okay, now let's see back in the Gemara. So the Gemara says, Tanu Rabbanan, V'gilach HaNazir Petach HaMoed. It helps to have a chumash. Oh, you have a chumash, right? Good. Okay, V'gilach HaNazir Petach HaMoed, V'shlam Yoksum Daber. So if you look in the chumash, this pasuk is, let's find it. One second. Okay, Michael says pasuk Yedpet. That's it. Yeah. So if you look at page 760, pasuk Yedpet, it says, V'gilach HaNazir Petach HaMoed, Rosh Nizro. The Nazir Galech, he's going to shave Petach all the way to Rosh Nizro. And then Belakachas for Rosh Nizro, but Natal Eishu Tachas Zevach Shlamim. He's going to put the hair underneath the pot, which is underneath the Zevach Shlamim, or we'll see in a minute. Now, the when it says Gilach here, Petach Ol Moed, now Petach Ol Moed, if you remember, I don't have, you know, the Mishkan diagrams or the floor plan. I don't need it, but thank you. I don't mean to show all of you the floor plan for the base of Mikdash, but Petach Ol Moed in the Mishkan would be the Ol Moed would be the covered portion of the Mishkan, which is the section that contains the menorah, the shulchan, and the Mizbach HaZahav. So Petach Ol Moed would be in the Chatzer right before, if I translate this literally. And in the base of Mikdash, Petach Ol Moed, meaning he's in the Azara of the base of Mikdash, you know, like near the outer Mizbeach, and then he's taking the haircut there. Let's see back in the Gemara. So Tan Rabbanan v'gilach nazir petach omoed v'gomer v'shlamim v'chitzub daber. So the Tana Kama of the Brisa, which we could say is lines up with Rabbi Yehuda, he says that the pasuk here is using a code. In other words, so when it says petach omoed, it doesn't mean the nazir is literally a petach omoed. The Chumash is telling you by saying petach omoed that the giluach is being done after the shlamim is shechted. That's what he's saying. He says, "Gilach nazir petach ol moed v'gomer shlamim k'tov daber." Shneamar u'shchato petach ol moed, because there's another pasuk not related to the nazir. It says he's going to shech the shlamim petach ol moed. So the Torah wants to allude to the fact that the giluach, according to this Tana, is taking place after the shlamim is shechted, not that the nazir is in the Azara, or the Chatzir, the Beis Hamikdash, or the Chatzir. It says, Atomir b'shlamim achtum d'ber. You're saying that the Pasuk is talking about referencing the Korban Shlamim. This is still part of the Braisa. Maybe it means Petach Omoed. He's where it says. Why can we read the Pasuk, translate the Pasuk, and he's Petach Omoed? So he says, Amart in Kain Derech B'Zayonu. So that's not logical, because this would be like a degrading sort of conduct to get a haircut in the Azara, the base of Mikdash. So it doesn't make sense, the Gemara is saying, according to this Tana, that it means that he, the Nazir, is getting the haircut right at Petach Ol Moed. So it's more logical, he says, and it's alluding to the fact to which Korban is being brought. Let me just do a few lines, and then we'll pause and we'll take some questions. Rabbi Yoshi Omer, Eino Tzarech. Rabbi Yoshi agrees with the previous Tana, but he says, I don't have to rely just on my Svara, that it's Therapy Zion. I could prove to you that the Nazir can't get the haircut in the Azara. So at the end of Parsha Truma, the Torah mentions that the Kohen shouldn't go b'malot on steps on my Mizbeach. There's a ramp in front of the Mizbeach. Because if he's walking up steps, he's like increasing the separation between his legs. It's like Megala's era, even though he's wearing pants, but it's like a lack of Derech Eretz. So he says, Kabachomer, the Derech B'Zion. So if the Torah is so concerned, and this is in the Azara, the Beis HaMikdash, that the coin shouldn't go up the Mizbeach with steps, because that's Derech B'Zion, Alachat, Abba, take a haircut in the Azara, the Beis HaMikdash, that can't be the case. So let me just do a little bit of the rush, and then we'll take some questions, comments, and thoughts, okay? So, one minute. Yeah, if you look, the second very wide line in the Rush, he says, "Bishlamim achtum adaber kolomar b'glach nazir al zevach shenemar petach ol moed." In other words, that it means the nazir is going to take the haircut in conjunction with the korban shlamim. Believe the Rabbi Yehuda d'Rabban Itan, and like in conformity with Rabbi Yehuda in our Mishnah, Rabbi Yosha mir otzarek kolomar. The third wide line in the Rush, kolomar inos b'chol osro misvara. You don't have to say haircut is prohibited based on just logic. He says, El mi kava chomer yesh the drosh. I could have a kava chomer. He says, She'en len hog bin up gizayon. Shrey omer, lo ta lev malot. Afil b'shad avoda, zira torah shlo t'kalei erbato le'etzim labanim. Meaning, even during the time of the avoda, you shouldn't be megala erva to like stone and wood. In other words, he says, kol shekein shlegaleh petach ol moed. Certainly, you know, u'besifri, ein ketubah Rabbi Yoshia, Omer, El Kulmi de Break Tanakama, Bahaki Ita Tamo, Inal Peneo Moway, Amar Derek Bizan, who Inal Pentacle Moway Mamash, Clomor, Chelsea Pasuka Shotobashil Swar, Tam Lomor, Lotala Malo. So whether it's from Yoshia or it's a continuation. Okay, so let's just summarize what we did, and then we'll take questions, comments, and thoughts. So we learned in the Mishnah we had a Machloket between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Lazar, is when does the Nazir do Giluach? So focusing on the Shita of Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yehuda says the first korban he's going to bring is the korban shlamim, even though in the chumash it sounds like it's the last one. But the first korban he's going to bring is the korban shlamim, and Rabbi Yehuda says that after the korban shlamim is shechted, he's going to get the haircut. So the Braisa says that even though the Torah says v'gilach hanazir petach ol moed, it doesn't mean literally petach ol moed. It doesn't mean he's going to get the haircut in the azar of the base of the dash. Rather, it just means that he's going to get the shave in conjunction with the korban shlamim, and the korban shlamim, that phrase petach ol moed, is used in the korban shlamim. So petach ol moed. That's what the Torah wants to intimate, and that's that piece. Okay, so who's got questions, comments, thoughts on anything we did so far?
Walk out.
Yeah, so it could be he'll walk out and then come back. Right, it could be that way. Okay. All right. Now let's take a look back in the again. What we're going to see, that in other words, the korban shlamim is going to be there's a lishka there are different sections of the base of mikdash, but there's like the ezras nashim. There are arba lishkot. There are four chambers in the ezras nashim. One of the lishkot, one of the chambers, is lishkat hanazirim, the chamber for nazirim. And there, the Mishnah says in Masechet Midot that the korban shlamim is cooked, and he's gonna get the haircut there and put the hair underneath the pot. Okay. No. Again, there's different sections of the base of mikdash. In other words, you go 15 steps at Shari Nikanur. Once you enter there, that's the base of mikdash. Outside that area, it's like a din lahar abayit. But it's still called Ezras Nashim, and there are four lishkot there. So one is lishkat nazirim, and that's where he's going to get the haircut, and he's going to put the hair underneath it in the azara, in the more interior. Okay. Now,
can you say over? I didn't understand why the kohen can't walk in his pants up the ramp or up the steps.
Yeah. So the Torah says at the end of Parshas Truma. At the end of Parshas Yitro. At the end of Parshas Yitro, the Torah says that you're not going to build steps in front of the Mizbeach. You'll build a ramp. It says, Shalot Tigalei Erva Chalav. Your nakedness shouldn't be revealed on it. So it means that if a Kohen is using steps, it's like more of a separation between his legs. And even though he's wearing pants, it's like closer like to his, you know, genitals being revealed. So he should do it more at Sneistek. That's what it's saying. Right.
But the ramp is okay.
Like the ramp, you know, you don't have to take like a wide step. You take whatever steps you want, you know. All right. So now let's take a look. All right. Now the next piece of Gemara is a little interesting, though. The Gemara says we don't have it. Well, you see where the brackets are. It's very unusual. It says Nusach Acher Medrash B'Parsha Naso Daf Reish Mem Beis. So it seems like this was like a copyist who copied this into the Gemara. It doesn't seem like it's actually the Gemara. In other words, if somebody wrote in, there's another version of this Medrash, and you'll find it in the Medrash Rab on Parshas Naso, who's got the Reish Mem Beis. So the Arsali said the Reish Mem Beis is like a different type of, numbering for it, but they gave him the citation for it, but we'll read it. So, B'gilach HaNazir, Rabbi Yoshi Omer, B'shlamim Achtub Daber. Yoshi says it's talking about the Korban Shlamim. O'eino V'chulei. Or maybe it's just saying this is where the Nazir has to have his hair cut. Imkach Amra Torah lo tala v'chulei. He says, so if that's the case, but it can't be because it's not, it's derech mizayin. The Torah says you can't go on steps to the Mizbeach. Kavakomel debar shlo yigaleach petachol moed. Kavakomel debar shlo leach petachol moed. So Kavakomer you shouldn't get a haircut. That's more bizayon than a homelay. So it's the same idea we said before, but it's just a reference that there is a medrash rabba on that. Okay, now the braisa continues on. That was like an interpolation in the braisa, but now we'll continue on with the braisa. Rabbi Yitzchak Omer Eino Tzarech. Rabbi Yitzchak is going to bring a different proof. In other words, Rabbi Yitzchak agrees with the previous opinion, but he's going to bring a different proof that the haircut is not taking place in the Azara of the Beis Mikdash. Rabbi Yitzchak Omer Eino Tzarech. Harei Omer. That he, the Nazir, will take the hair from his head and put it on the fire, which is underneath the pot that's cooking his Zevach Shlamim. Meaning that there's only two steps. He cuts the hair, then he puts it on the fire. So if he would be at Petach Omoed, the way would be the other possibility, he's actually in the Azara, the base of Mikdash, then he's got to take a hike and then do it. So that's another raya that the haircut is taking place the haircut's taking place not in the Azara, the base of Mikdash. He's agreeing with the Tanakama, he's agreeing with Rabbi Yehuda, but he's bringing a different proof. Now, Ika da Amri, others say. Now, here's this Ikeda Amri. There's not a lot of difference between the Ikeda Amri and the first Lashon. Ikeda Amri, Rabbi Yitzchak Omer, Mishlami Mechtum Daber. So it says the Pasuk is talking about a Korban Shlami. Everybody's on the same Derek up till now, that the Pasuk is speaking about bringing Korban Shlami. I tell me, Mishlami Mechtum Daber, Wayne Le Petach Omaway Mamash. In other words, that's the code for the Korban Shlami. Talmud Omar, Lakachet Sar Rosh Nizro, Makom Shayam Vashel, the place that he's cooking the Korban Shlamim, Shamayim Agaleh. That's where he's going to do the Gilua. Okay? So I think we're pretty good with this part. But we'll come back shortly. Now, five lines to the bottom. Abachanan Omer Mishum Reb Lezer. Now, this Abachanan is going to work more. We have the name of Reb Lezer. It's going to work well within the Shita of Reb Lazar in our Mishnah. Some say in the Mishnah, I think, should be Reb Lezer as well, in which case it's like fully lined up. So Reb Lazar in the Mishnah says that he does the Giluach after the Korban Chatat, and since the Korban Chatat is the person who shechted, the Gilach HaNazir Petach HaMoed, so he has a different drasha. This is the Gilach HaNazir Petach HaMoed Kozman Shein Petach HaMoed Patuach Einu Megaleh. So he also takes it that the Giluach is not going to take place in the Azara, but why does it say Petach HaMoed? So the first way was Petach HaMoed is a code for the Korban Shlamim. It says no. Petach HaMoed means the Giluach has to be done when the doors of the Beis Mikdash are open, i.e. during the daytime. He says here, Kozman Shein Petach HaMoed Patuach Einu Megaleh. Okay, that piece we have. Now, let's see, one second. Let's look at the rush on two lines from the bottom. The Giluach is here, Petach HaMoed, Kozman Shein Patuach, the Al Korchacha, Pnei HaMoed Lab Dafka. And that doesn't mean literally that he's at Petach HaMoed, Shehu Minhag B'Zion, because it would be like a degrading type of conduct. But nearly, the Sfir Le Demuleach Al Chatat. So the Rush says, seems to me, that this opinion, which we just quoted, holds that he do the Giluach for the Chatat, Hilkach Lo Itzrich Pnei HaMoed. So he doesn't need Pnei HaMoed. He's not going to use it to teach me in Korban Shlamim, because he doesn't hold that way. El L'Bizman Shehu Patua. So it's opened up. That's what he's doing with that. All right, now just a few more lines. And then we'll pause, we'll do some Torah. He says, two lines from the bottom, Rabbi Shimon Shazuri Omer, V'gilach HaNazir Petach HaMoed, V'lo Nazira. So Shimon Shazuri says, V'gilach HaNazir Petach HaMoed, the drasha he makes is only the Nazir gets the haircut, but not the Nazira. Now, he holds, if you look in the Rush says that this last opinion holds that the Giluach is done in the Azara of the Beis HaMikdash, not like we learned before. He holds it's done in the Azara, in the Chatzer of Mishkan, and in the Azara, the Beis Mikdash. Right. So he's holding. We'll see in a minute. He holds since it's a mitzvah. It's not B'Zion. That's what he's going to hold. So he says, but he has something else from this pasuk. Yigalach Nazir Petach HaMoed Velo Nazira. The Nazira, the female Nazir. You know, I don't often think of it this way, but it comes up that you know a woman can be a Nazira. He says, turn page. Shema Yifgaruba Pirchei Kuna, because we're afraid that the young Kohen will get like sort of sexually aroused seeing this woman shaving off her hair in the Beis HaMikdash. That's what the Gemara says. Now, Let's just see the rush on this, and we'll come in a minute. Just one second. He says, two lines from the bottom. One of the last line in the rush. He says, so he holds, that's exactly where he does the Gilua. He said, because if it's not literally Olmoed, so the woman could do it in a like a private place. Turn page. So this opinion is Mechulak in the Mishnah Masechet Midot. He says the Katani Shem Galeach B'Zushkat Nazirim. So the Mishnah says Mechurech in Masechet Midot that the Nazir gets his hair cut in Lishkat Nazirim, which we spoke about before, which is I think the southeastern corner of the Ezra's Nashim. So, but he holds that it's over there. But a Nazira, let's see back on the Gemara. Took him a Pirkei Kuna. So Amar Lo. So whoever is speaking to him said to him, so you're saying that the Nazira can't possibly, shave her hair because it has to be done petachol moed, and that would arouse all these other konim. But a sotol bimochiach the chiba b'midal of Hashem. So this is coming up. It's we're beginning 3 weeks from tonight. We believe that we begin with sechet sota. So as part of the sota, so the uparat rosh haisha. The coin, pulls off the head covering from the woman, and then he rips the top of her clothes and exposes her. And he says, and we're not afraid that the coin is going to get aroused. Amar Lahen, Shemeshimazuri responded to them, Zuko Chaludu Pokeset. The Nazira, she's got cosmetic on. She looks attractive. So if they see her, cut her hair, that'll get them excited. The sota, she's not made up. She's not made up. She's not looking her best, so she won't get them aroused. Okay, one second. We're almost there. One second.
Why is this sota
Wait. Let us wait 2 minutes. 2 minutes, and we'll be there. Now, one second. Okay, now... so if you look at the Tosfos, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, the fifth Tosfos, below Nazira, Mashma, Shetama de Krush, and Yikaruba Purechen Kuhunim, Tkaleya Pethel Moin Mamash. So Tosfos says, it seems as though the concern is that she shouldn't get the haircut in the base of Mikdash, Eloba Medina Megalachat, Makom Sanua. So she'll get the haircut, the Medina, outside the base of Mikdash, below Yeruba Purechen Kuhunim. But, other Mepharshim say that she's not going to get a haircut at all. That's what some other Mepharshim want to say, that the Nazira wouldn't get a haircut at all. All right, now let me just do a little Torah on this, and then we'll open up the floor for questions, comments, and thoughts. So, one second. Let's see, we have here 1 second.
I guess the sota has more important things on her head than eye makeup.
Yeah. So the rush held differently, right? Rush held that she can't do it anywhere. That's what the rush was saying. And so, but 1 second, 1 second, 1 second, 1 second. So Michael's asking, so we have the midst of the Torah. So I would say the midst of the Torah is just for men. That's what he's saying. The midst of the Torah is the male Nazir gets shaved, not the female Nazir. That's what I would say. So that's the drasha, the Lacha Nazir, not the Nazira. Okay, now there's a lot of pieces of Torah on like an upsharon, for young men. So I'll read the English one first, and we'll Google with the Hebrew one. Rav Yosef Malkiu, in his Sefer Shulchan Gaboa, notes that the custom in Yerushalayim was to give a boy his first haircut amidst joy and merriment on Chol HaMoed in Shul. Rav Chaim Chizkiya Medini, the Stei Chemed, challenged this practice from our Gemara. So this Rav Yosef Malkiu, actually, in the Sefer Shulchan Gaboa, they would give, the upsharon would be the first haircut on Chol HaMoed. I'm also, you see, I'm worried about how to do it on Chol HaMoed, but But he's focusing here, or we'll come to that. They'll have to say it's like a mitzvah. We'll see in a minute. He says, so Steichem, it challenges from our Gemara. Our Gemara relates it is not possible for the Torah to instruct the Nazir to cut his hair by the entrance of Ohel Moed, since that activity would be degrading to the sanctity of the Beis Mikdash. It is therefore logical to assume it is also prohibited to cut a person's hair in shul, since a shul is a miniature mikdash, like a mikdash ma'at. Why then did the custom develop to permit a practice that is degrading to the sanctity of the Beit Knesset? Additionally, you know, what's interesting also is, do help me out with this, Yosef. I always think of it as an Ashkenazi custom, a Hasidim, like an upsharon, but here it's coming out, Sephardim seems to be doing it. You do do it. Okay. 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 So, additionally, you don't, right. Okay. So, additionally, the practice should be discouraged because cutting the child's hair the first time means the child will be standing in the Beit Knesset with his head uncovered, which is certainly not appropriate kind of. So another issue. One is that you're cutting hair in the in shul, the second the kid's the young kid, but without a yarmulke.
The whole thing
no, no. I mean, there's two different things. The nazir is one thing.
Right, that's,
I mean, the upshot.
Really okay.
All right. The Sefer Leit Chaim, in fact, cites Rashi's comment to the pasuk, "Begilach hanazir petach ol moed," that clearly indicates that cutting one's hair in the Beit Knesset is degrading, should be prohibited. The Sefer suggests, since the haircut constitutes a mitzvah, in that the child is left with payas, and thus it is conducted with music and dancing, it is more elevated than the haircut of a nazir, and as such, it may be held in the Beit Knesset. So, Steichem is way out of it. He wants to say, and we'll see that the
question.
In other words, he wants to say it's a mitzvah. You're right, and it's more elevated. In other words, the haircut of the nazir is also a mitzvah, but he wants to say this is even more elevated. We'll see a little bit. It's related to the pesukim by Orla. We'll see in a minute. He says other authorities question whether the initial assumption of Steichem, that is, anything that is degrading the Beit Mikdash is automatically degrading behavior in the Beit Knesset. It's true. So some people question the fact that you can't do it in the Beit Mikdash. Does that mean you can't do it in the shul? He says, we find, for example, it is prohibited to spit on the Har Abayit. It is permitted to spit in the Beit Knesset. In other words, the Har Abayit is less than the Beit than the Beit Mikdash, but you're not allowed to spit on the Har Abayit. But technically, you could have like a spittoon in shul and you could spit there. So the fact, I don't know. So he says, we find, for example, this we did already. Perhaps, however, this distinction is not valid because one can distinguish between entering a Beit Knesset for a haircut when the very nature of the activity is degrading and entering a Beit Knesset for some other purpose and later feeling the urge to spit. So in other words, if I'm coming to shul to daven and then along the way I have to spit, might be one thing, but I'm just coming in to do the haircut, is a different parsha. Okay, now, he's got a piece here in the Morot Daf Yomi. Now, he's got this word chalaka. So do Sfarim call the upsharon chalaka? All right, well, this word chalaka. Right. So anyway, but here he's got the word chalaka. So I asked somebody in the Beis Medrash today, he thought maybe came from the word chalak, but it looks like with the aleph in the middle, like it's like not like Arabic or something like that. I don't know. Like I was talking something that this Rabbi Ike Sultan today, he said with the Aleph, he said like some other, right? Anyway, now, the Medrash quotes the Pasuk, it says, Unatatem kolets ma'achal, like you'll come to Eretz Israel, you'll plant a fruit tree, Varaltem or latoa per year. For the first 3 years, the fruit is left untouched, you don't eat it. He says, means the Shloshim Yilchem Arei Lim concern the first 3 years of a child, is what they want to say. In other words, the Medrash Tanchuma says, and there was Medrash Tanchuma talks about this Pasuk, and says it's really talking about a human child. It says that he can't speak properly the first 3 years. So that's, in other words, Arelim means closed off. So it says, Shoshim Yilechem Arelim, 3 years you're going to be closed off. So the Medrash says the closing off is talking about a young child. He can't speak properly until he's age three or around. He says, and then Ubashna Ravidia, Kodeshilun Lashem, like from the fourth year, everything should be Kodesh Gilulim that teaches that the father has to be Matshim for Torah and teach Torah. So now, on year four, the child is going to get involved, like the Rambam says. You teach him Shema Yisrael and Torah Tzibalana Moshe and things like that. Now, the Shas and Shubas Arugat Abosem concludes from here, the Minhag of Chasidim and Anshe Masa is to delay the haircut for their young sons till they complete 3 years. That's a Minhag Shel Torah, because that's when we begin to teach them Torah. And that's the time that when they begin to do mitzvah schina concerning mitzvahs of gidul peyot, like growing the peyos and other mitzvahs, because at that age, the child already begins to understand things. Now, the Sefer Shulchan Gavoa, which the Daf Digest quoted, he quotes it here as well. You know, you get the idea, like, frequently we get, like, these different sheets, and when you start seeing the sheets all talking about the same thing, this is the topic, the fertile topic. So he says, Sefer Shulchan Gavoa testifies that he saw in Yerushalayim, Maaseh Rav, he's like, he's seeing, like, the action of, like, the, like, Maaseh Rav is, you see a Rav do something that's like Maaseh Rav, the fact that they do the action. So Maaseh Rav, that they would arrange the first haircut in the shul, in the majority cases, during Chol HaMoed Sukkot, B'tupima B'mecholot, like with drums and dancing. The Stei Chamed, who the other one quoted also, brings this minhag, and he asks, from our Gemara, that says that you can't give a shave to the Nazir, Petach HaMoed, because it's considered to be Zion for the base of Mikdash, and that's the way the Rambam paskins, that you can't give the haircut to the Nazir in the base of Mikdash. So even the shul, that would be like Mikdash Ma'at, so you should avoid the haircut. So how could they have done it? So the Stei Chamed, then he asks on this, when they're Megaleach the Katan, they reveal his head. You know, I think though, you know, it's like the way the Chassidim do it, Michael. So Chassidim, they have like this larger, like they're not just doing a little snippet, like you say. They're creating like the payas. So they're shaving like all the hair and like the payas on the side, long. That's the way, that's the way like he's describing. So he's saying, so Stei Chamed says, yes. One second. So as we said, so he says, so the Stei Chamed has an yes on Sminag, when they're Megaleach the Katan, they're Megala Rosho, and you're allowed to reveal their head in the base, in the Beit Knesset. Stei Chamed explains, they say, B'dokach, that since the Tiklach of the Katan is a mitzvah, so the Mekilim with it. That's the one he saw. He says a mitzvah. And then the Sefer Peirot Te'ina, yes, on the explanation of Stei Chamed, the Giluch of Nazir is also a mitzvah to Raisa. And notwithstanding that, the Nazir is not allowed to do it there, as there are Bizayon. So the Sfar of Dvar Mitzvah doesn't help with Bizmi Makom Mikdash. So the only thing you could say, like he sort of alluded to it in the Daf Digest by saying it's like instead of more elevated mitzvah, is what he was saying. But Lechora, mitzvah and mitzvah, so the fact that it's a mitzvah doesn't cut it. Now, he says the Sefer Peirot Teina, he brings an explanation that's mentioned in Achronim, based on the Gemara, that they didn't shave the Nazir and the Azara, but they would shave him in the Lishkat Nazirim that was in Ezra's Nashim, like it says in the Mishnah, Masechet Midot. So if that's the case, since we see that even the Har HaBayit, that had tremendous Kedusha, in other words, he's saying like this, you're right, the Nazir couldn't get a shave in the Beis HaMikdash, but he's getting a shave on the Har HaBayit. In other words, the Lishkat Nazirim is in the Har HaBayit. So the Har HaBayit, so the Mishnah says, the same idea we said before, but just spelling it out, Lo Yikaneis Har HaBayit B'Maklova Min Alo, a person shouldn't enter the Har HaBayit with his walking stick or with his shoes. He says, and the Gemara explains, that you're not allowed to do that on a deraisa level. You can't bring the walking stick and the shoes to the Har HaBayit. And nevertheless, the Torah permits the Tisporet for the Sorek Mitzvah of the Nazir. So certainly the Beit Knesset, which Chazal teach us, that you're allowed to walk with shoes in the Beit Knesset, so certainly you'd be allowed to get a score. So it's taking, in other words, don't compare it to the prohibition of the Nazir in the base of Mikdash, compared to the Hector of the Nazir in Lishkat Nazirim, which is Harabayit. And then now, it's interesting to note, he says, that the son of Reb Chaim Palagi was a big gadol in Turkey in the 19th century. He writes concerning his father, who says, you're not allowed to get a haircut in the shul. He says that that the Shulchan Gavoa wrote that you're allowed to get a haircut for a katan in the shul, that's a sorok mitzvah. So he says, based on this, he permits Talmidei Chachamim, whose ikar kviyas in the Beit Knesset is to get a haircut there. He says that it shouldn't be mevatel from the Torah, and it's not considered bizayon of Beit Knesset, because we see sport of a katan is permissible in shul. So where was it? The Re'aviv, the Mishas. Well, yeah. So in other words, it means like this. Reb Chaim Palagi said you can't get a haircut in shul, but he writes, the son writes about the Shulchan Gavoa that the child could get a haircut in shul Torah mitzvah, and he, the son, is matir Talmidei Chachamim to get haircuts in the shul because that's where they hang out. and do that. Okay, now, who's got questions, comments, thoughts on anything we did in the Gemara? Say again, what? Chol Moed Sukkos, they said they would do that. What did I say? What did you mean? In other words, but that's what we're talking about. What do you mean? Yeah, in other words, that's what he said, because he's quoting. We're right. So that's what I was asking about. Kind of, so the only thing I could say is if you assume it's a mitzvah, so maybe that would be the exception. Otherwise, I don't know what to say. But why Dafkan Chol Moed are they doing it? I'm not quite sure why it's Chol Moed. He's connected to the din of Orla. Yeah, right. The Ashkenazim do it usually on Lag BaOmer, but I don't know what this mitzvah was on Chol Moed Sukkot. All right, any other questions?
Rabbi, regarding
so it's apropos. Now you have a shtickle Torah study. Yeah, what's up, Daniel, or whoever's there?
Regarding the Nazira that is going to come in and uncover their hair, and she's going to have makeup on, why can't they not stipulate if a Nazira wants to, you know, at that point, to not to put makeup on, so she's going to be in a similar status?
I'll say it like this. In other words, the Gemara has a deal. It says the Gilach Hanazir Petach Omoei. This is according to Rabbi Shimon Shazuri. So he says it's Dafka. In other words, he learns only the Nazir, not the Nazira. The Gilach Hanazir. That's why the Torah says the Gilach Hanazir. I assume the word Nazir is even superfluous because, in other words, we're talking about the Nazir. So it could say the Gilach Petach Omoei. Why Nazir? It's only the male, not the female. So then why does the Torah mention that it's only the male, not the female? And that's because we're afraid that it's going to get aroused. That's what I would say. All right, what's up?
Why is there no such question of arousal with the Isha Sota? Why, A, can't she wear makeup?
That's what we said. In other words, that she is dressed in a menuval way. In other words, like the Rosh said, I didn't read this part in the Rosh review. What happened in Masechet Sota that she, if you look in the Rosh around the fifth, sixth line, in other words, why is it not arousing by the Sota? He says, line six, Shaya Kosher Chemala Mitzri Lamalamidadea. They would tie like this coarse rope above her chest, you know, but in other words, like she's dressed like she looks like, you know, very unattractive. That's the way the Sota were making her look.
Right, or is it that they have a preconceived notion that she's a bad person? Is that part of it?
Well, the Sota is not a tzedekis. In other words, if she's accused of being a Sota, she's already done an Avera because she had Yichud with somebody.
She's secluded.
In addition to which, she didn't have Yichud with a man, but in addition to which, her husband said, I don't want you to be alone with this guy. So she's not so great. But that's what the Ar Mesorah is, how that's handled. Okay, I got to keep moving. Unless somebody.
The reason why Tanakama says Shalomim is first and Rabbi Eliezer says not that.
We said that one says that it's like a code. It says Petach Olmoe is a code for the Korban Shlamim, according to the Rabbi Yehuda, the Tanakama, in the Brisa. So it's saying, it's a Vigilach Hanazir Petach Olmoe, he's going to do a Giluach after the Shechit of the Korban Shlamim. And then it says, no, Rabbi Lezer says that the first Korban that's rejected is always the Korban Chatat, we said. That's the general Klal. So it's not any different here. Okay. I got to keep moving in the Gemara. I apologize. We're running out of time. And then let's keep moving. Okay. And on the fifth line from the top, I'm in Hayamid Beis. Okay, Matnithin. Hayamid Tel Sa'ar Rosh Nizro U'mishleath Tachar Adud. So he would take, this Nazir would take the hair that he cut off and throw it, do it as the kettle where the meat is cooking. In other words, they're cooking the Korban Shlamim. He throws it on the, now even, Lechora, even if I say, like the Tana of Lazar, that he's shaving after the Korban Chatat, but the Torah says that he throws it onto the fire underneath the Korban Shlamim. Bim Gilach Medina, if he'd had the Giluah outside the Beis Hamikdash, lo yimishleach tachar adud. He wouldn't throw the hair underneath the kettle. B'amen Amurim b'tiglach haratara. That's talking about tiglach haratara. In other words, he did everything fine. He completed his nazirus in the state of tahara. Well, but tiglachad atuma is another tiglachad. If he was tami in the middle, then he goes through a process and he has the tara, and then he brings korbano. But tiglachad atuma lo yamishleach tachad adud. He wouldn't throw any hair underneath the kettle. Rabbi Meir Omer hakol mishalchin tachad adud. The Tana Meir says all nazirim would send their hair to be underneath the kettle, puts them in a tamei shem of dina babad. Except the tamei of the dina. So in other words, like this, it means that according to this opinion, if you're a nazir that was tahor, in other words, you had a successful completion of the zirus, you would, and even if you had the haircut and it's outside the Beis HaMikdash, he says, yeah, actually, he says the Medina is outside Yerushalayim. He says, I mean, there's a machloka between the Mepharshim, whenever it says the Medina, does it mean outside the Beis HaMikdash, outside Yerushalayim? But he learns outside Yerushalayim, he would send it, he says, and the only one who wouldn't would be the Tamei in the Medina. If you're Tamei outside the Beis HaMikdash, you wouldn't send. We'll see. Okay? Now, actually, you know, I should mention, there's another Girsa on the Mishnah. If you look in the Mishnah, it says on line two, so there's a different Girsa, so we have Loayam Mishleach Takara Duud. There's another Girsa that he would be Mishleach Takara Duud. Okay, now, the Gemara says, no tail sa'ar rosh nizro. Now, this is a quote from the Mishnah, so it should be, and the Bach has, Hayano tail sa'ar rosh nizro. He would take the hair from his head, Tana Rabbanan, b'charkach notel et arotev, then he takes some of the gravy from his, in other words, the pot is cooking with the meat from the korban shlamim, and the fire is underneath the pot. And typically, he's in the Lishkat Nazirim, and he's getting the shave there. And he takes the hair, and then he takes some of the gravy from the pot. He says, v'notein al sar rosh nizro, he puts the gravy on the hair, v'mishleif takah nadut shel shlamim, and then he puts that underneath the pot. If he put it underneath the kettle of the chatat or the asham, he's yotze. So the Gemara says, asham benaz yutawar miika. How do you have a korban asham? In other words, we said that if you're successfully completing your nazirus, you bring a chatat and ol and ashlamim. So where does this korban asham come from? So Amar Rava Haki Kamar. So Rava says what the Brisa means is Bim Nazir Tamei, if he's a Nazir Tamei, meaning a Nazir who in the middle of his term became Tamei, and now he goes through Tara process and he brings Korbanot, Mishleach Takanadut Shal Hashem. So he does Yetzah, and he puts it underneath the good of the Hashem, his Yotze. Now, the only question is like this, that if he's a Nazir Tamei, so he brings two birds, one is a chatat and one is an ola, and he brings a korban asham. So the only animal, the only meat that's cooking in the pot would be a korban asham. So why does he, what else? There's no other good to stick in it. There's no other good thing. So one pshat wants to say that really this opinion holds that we'll see later on in the Gemara, that he should bury the hair if he's a asham tameh. But if he's not burying it and he threw it under the dud, he's yotze. That's could be. Now, all right, that's the brisa. And now the Gemara is going to, you know, analyze the brisa, siriatim. Now the first halacha was the gravy on the hair. So menani milay, amar rava, amar kra, asher tachat zevach hashlamim. Now the word zevach is somewhat superfluous here. In other words, let's get the pasuk out. So he says, where is it? 18? Okay. You know, 18 is good. He says, "V'gilach hanazir pethachol moed roshin's row, v'lakach et sa'ar roshin's row, will take the hair, v'natan al eish, and put it on the fire, asher tachat zevach hashlamim, which is underneath the zevach hashlamim." Now, it could say shlamim, but it says zevach hashlamim. Asher tachat zevach hashlamim, mizivcho yehei taktav. So Gemara darshens out, like mizivcho, there'll be something, in other words, the shlamim is the korban. So that's cooking, but mizivcho asher tachat zevach hashlamim, that this part of the shlamim, the part of the zevach, which is also going to be on the fire. That's what he's saying. Asher tachat zevach hashlamim. In other words, the shlamim is cooking, but zevach hashlamim, there's a part of that korban which is going to be on the fire, and that's the rotev. It can't be the meat, but the rotev. Now the next line in the braisa says, if he put the hair underneath the Khatat and the girth orach bishor is vasham. Takadush khatat vasham yatsa, my time up. Amar kra, zebach, rabodah khatat vasham. So the word zebach, here the Gemara is taking the same word, the same pasuk, and dark. In other words, the word zebach is mutar. Zebach just means a korban. So he's saying that that's alluding to the fact that b'dieved, if you put the hair underneath the chatar or the asham in the case of a nazir, tell me your yotze. So the verse is va'afiti la'izevach mirotev. Now a different girsa is lirotev. In other words, you use that so that zevach to darshan the gravy, and now you're darshaning that it could be underneath a different korban. So the Gemara says, "Im kain lemikra me rotev hashlamim." If the Torah only wanted to teach me that the rotev of the gravy of the korban shlamim has to go on the fire, the other with the hair, so it should say v'lakach me rotev and put on the fire. My zevach. Why is Torah use the term zevach? Why is that the superfluous word? So why don't we say the whole limud is just zevach is just teaching the rice? So skip the gravy. So zevach hashlamim, in other words, the shlamim, but a zevach. There could be other korban you put underneath. Im kain lema kro shlamim v'zevach. If that's what the Torah wanted to teach me, the Torah could have said shlamim v'zevach. My zevach hashlamim. Why zevach hashlamim? So zevach hashlamim natarti. So zevach hashlamim is saying that the zevach has got something to do with the shlamim, or that a piece of the shlamim is going to be on the fire. So shlamim natarti. So the Gemara is able to learn two things from zevach. One is that the gravy is going to be underneath there, and in the alternative, that if he put the hair underneath the kettle that's cooking the chatar or the asham, he's yotze.
It's there.
Listen. No. Here, well, I'd like to think he takes a spoon and puts it in something like we little healthy things. Well, okay. He's standing there. The pot is cooking. He's got the big piece of meat in the pot. It's cooking. Right. And the water. And this water there is boiling. It's like boiling. He's got his hair. And it depends how long he was a Nazir. And then he takes a little gravy, puts it on the hair, and then he puts that on the fire. Underneath the fire. The gravy infested hair is now on the fire, underneath the pot. Underneath the pot. Okay, now let's see back in the Gemara. Now let's just do the Braisa. So the Gemara says, Tan Rabbanan, Hayu call you Mashachin Takaradud, means that all Nazirim would send their hair or throw their hair under the Dud. Except for the Nazir Tamei that did the Giluach outside Yerushalayim, his hair is buried. So that relates to the earlier Gemara. We said that sometimes it's buried. So he says, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Tahorim Kan Makani Mishalchim. So Rabbi Yehuda says, Tahorim, whether they're in Yerushalayim or outside Yerushalayim, they would either send the hair or throw the hair. He says, Tameim Kan Makan Loim Mishalchim. If there were Tameim, they're not in the base of Mikdash, but they could be outside in the Lushkat Nazirim. They wouldn't be Mishaleach. They wouldn't throw it. But Chachamim Omrim, I call Loi Mishachim Tachar Adud. The Chachamim say, no, not everybody would throw the hair under the Dud. Chutzman Tahor Sheba Mikdash, when he's not such Mitzvato. So the Chachamim say, the only one who puts his hair, you're Tahor, you're in the base of Mikdash, that's the only one who sticks his hair underneath the kettle. That's the easier way to understand that. Okay. Any questions, comments, or thoughts on anything I did so far? I don't think so, because we're almost done with the hour, so I can't be flying that much. Now, okay. Well, it's a good thing I'm flying, because otherwise you'd be stuck on Amud Aleph. Now, on five lines at the bottom of the Mishnah, not Ethan. Hayam Mabashel Ashlamim. He's busy. Mabashel is like you're cooking with water, is the Mabashel. Oh, Shulchan. Shulchan is like cooking it very well, like overcooking it. You know, does anybody think of a halakha by Pesach where only the 30 days before Pesach where the word shaluk comes up? Shaluk. Anyway, so what is with the maror? In other words, if the maror is shaluk, then you can't be yotze. You can't be yotze with the maror if it's been the whatever you're using for maror. In other words, Shaluk is even, like I told you, it's even if it was left in water for 24 hours, it's Shaluk. Anyway.
We learned about Shlakot in Brachot, right?
Right. Do you remember what we learned, where that was?
Brachot and Shabbos also.
One thing, Tom, what did you learn in Brachot about Shlakot?
Bishalakom, that it's one of that if you can eat it raw and it's not Shlakot, it's an exception to Bishalakom.
No. I think you're confusing a lot of different. The Gemara in Brachot is talking about what bracha to make on the vegetables. That's what I think the Gemara you're talking about. Yes. Do I make a borei pri adam or shakol the abibaro? That's around the flamed zion in bracha.
Because it loses its.
It depends how people normally cook it. Okay, now let's see back in the Gemara.
Normally or well done.
Or right. He says, no tail hazro b'shilam in ha'ayol. He says, Kohen no tail hazro b'shilam in ha'ayol. Now the Kohen, and again, there's a big kettle with a lot of big pieces of meat. So the Kohen takes the right foreleg of the ram, which is the korban shlamim, the chalat matzah achat min asal. He takes one chala of matzah from the basket, rakik matzah achat, a wafer. There were different ways of cooking, but they're both matzah types. But otein al kapei anazir, the nazir is standing there, and the kohen is there. So the kohen takes his right foreleg, which is a big piece of meat, and he's got like these two matzahs, and now he's going to stick it. He's going to stick it on the palms of the matzah of the nazir. And he, the Kohen, and the Nazir are going to wave. He says, and then wave it. I think the Kohen waves it with him. Let me see. One second. Let me make sure we got. One second. Right. And Aaron. He says, right. So here it says the Kohen is going to do the waving, but it looks like the Nazir is also doing the waving here. So he says here, afterwards, the Nazir is allowed to drink wine. To come to contact with dead people. Rabbi Shimon Omer, according to Rabbi Shimon, once the Zerik Adam is done from any of the Korbanot, the Nazir is allowed to drink wine and be Metamei Lamehtim. Now, one second. Give me one. One second. The Zrika would be before the thing is cooked, right? It takes a while to cook the meat, right? So then the Zrika would be first. One second. I just want to see this. Give me 1 second. He says, yeah, waves them. 1 second. Yeah. Okay, so I think we've got the waving. But it's interesting. The Torah says that the Kohen is doing the waving, but it's clear here from the Mishnah that when Atama Kapen Azir, he's putting it on the. But it says, all right, so I think we got that. Okay, now, any questions, comments, thoughts, anything we did?
What?
So that the Kohen gets to eat it all. That's the Kohen's, yeah. Okay, anything else? Everybody good? You're all experts on the Nazir? No, I think that's it for tonight. Now, let me just end the recording. 1 second. One second, let me end the recording.